And we're going to be talking about being equipped with God's armor so that we are more than conquerors. Let us begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we embark on this time of worship and reflection, we seek your blessing. Pour out your grace upon us, and may we favor rest upon this gathering. Bless our minds, hearts, and lives to be transformed by your word. In your precious name, amen. In Ephesians 6:10, it reads, "Finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power." I can recall my children going to Bible study at the time. We went to a neighboring church, Swamp Mennonite Church. And the boys that were in Matthew's class loved that memory verse, and they would be, you could hear them out of the playground, and they would be singing, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord," they were yelling and shouting. It was really precious to see and to hear. Paul writes this to encourage the unity of the early church. Here he describes the spiritual battle in Ephesians, the spiritual battle that takes place against the evils of the world. The prominent religion at that time was the worship of Artemis, and Christianity was not very welcomed. The spiritual warfare was taking place, for sure. We have a spiritual warfare going on in our world. It's hard to listen to it. It's hard to understand it. God's mighty power is working in all believers. When we rely on him, then we are able to move forward doing his work. Matthew said this morning, when he was mowing the yard at God's house, it gave him a sense of peace. It gave him a sense of unity. We're strengthened by the Lord, and we are blessed by him. Let's look at Ephesians 6:11-12. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." It is so sad that we even need to think about these evil powers, and yet they exist. Believers both then and now are attacked for their faith in Jesus. Think about the missionary couple and their leader who were just attacked and killed in Haiti. The reason that young couple stayed there is because the wife felt there would be no one there to care for the children. And so they stayed. We need to be encouraged. We should not be living in fear. We should not come half-hearted into our Christian faith. We need to be strong and be aware and be alert for the attacks that occur. Some of us here are thinking, no, I grew up with my faith. I don't get bothered by things like that. I'm going to remain strong and I'll be fine. But you know what? Those spiritual battles do exist in the lives of believers. Pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones created this list for us to think and to know of ways that our faith is sapped out of our lives. He writes, "Sometimes we try to commit too many spiritual works or things. We're so busy. We get involved in conversation, and it becomes foolish conversation and foolish talk. We have arguments and debates, and we wrangle about things. Sometimes our feelings are hurt, and it just comes out in anger. We feel tired. We spend too much time with the wrong company. We enjoy our money. We enjoy our things. We desire to have more than others. We want a good image. We watch ungodly entertainment. We have a wrong attitude. And we doubt God's words. I felt that was quite an extensive list. Oh, to be human. But it is so good to know that those things are out there and we can work through them and we can turn to Jesus for help at any time. Lloyd Jones goes on to write, "We have to walk on a knife edge in these matters. You must not become extreme on one side or the other, but you have to be watchful. And of course, you can always tell by examining yourself whether your strength is increasing or declining." You can actually examine your strength in the Lord. If it doesn't feel right, do something. Read your Bible. Get with Christian friends. Turn on Christian music. I encourage you to take some time, either today or this week, to truly sit and think and recognize if your faith is increasing or decreasing. Think about the conversations and the actions that you've had this past week. Our victory over evil is rooted in Jesus. It is rooted in our application of what Jesus did for each of us. This week we had a meeting, about 7 or 8 pastors were here, and we just had a meeting, and it was for clarification and rejuvenation for pastors who were able to attend. And it was just joy. It was just joy to praise the Lord, and each of us had the opportunity about to share how our church is growing and what's happening in our churches. And each of us had the opportunity to share about a concern that we individually have been going through. And it just was precious. And it was mentioned how these are holy grounds where Wellspring Church sits. God is here. His Spirit is here. It was so neat to go through our lives last week, what we learned from our experiences, and how wonderful it is to have faith in Jesus. Colossians 2:15 says, reads, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Because of the blood of Jesus on the cross, we do have a victory over evil. Each one of you needs to know that. We have victory over evil. Paul warns not to be taken in by deceptive arguments. And in this world, they even beautify it even more. They add better, more music, bright colors. They make it seem like their way of life is more fun, is more better. Hard to get away from that. Ephesians 6:13, 14, and 15. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your guard. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Stand firm. It alludes to a single soldier withstanding an assault. The character of the warrior will win the battle. Sometimes not by force. It's a thing Jesus does. We stand in courage and strength. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, "Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love." Can you imagine a world where actions are from a place of love in a person's heart? Be a beautiful world. When evil intimidates, or evil glorifies themselves, we are to stand firm. We stand in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Paul is reiterating that believing in the gospel is the foundation for everything that is true. Those choosing to believe in the evil, the fun that they're having, the things that other people are doing, competing with the Smiths next door, that stuff is not true and will not last. Stand on his foundation for what is true and everlasting. We stand in the Lord. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. This is true now, and this will be true when Jesus returns. Stand in the Lord. We are his joy. We are his peace. We are his people. Because of his love for us, he has equipped us to stand firm. You may be thinking, me? He equipped me, but this has been so hard. Yes, he has given you gifts. Paul uses metaphors with the soldier's armor to show how faith in Jesus works together as we serve the Lord. The belt of truth guards one's abdomen and holds up garments and tools needed to go forth in warfare. The breastplate of righteousness provides protection for vital organs. As our feelings and experiences change, there is a chance that gloom and doom may set in. And the breastplate of righteousness defends us against these feelings. And with your feet fitted with readiness, protective shoes must be worn in times of struggle. Proper footing is a proper foundation for any soldier. The gospel provides the footing for everything we do. You want happy feet? You must read your Bible, right? The foundation of our faith is found in the Bible. Let's get back to Ephesians 6, 16 through 18. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions that all kinds of prayers and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray for others. Pray. These are the pieces of armor we take out at necessary moments. Faith is the shield that protects us from evil. When something happens, how would Jesus react? How would he want me to react? What would he want me to say? Should I say a prayer before I react? Our faith cannot be shaken through fear. The helmet of salvation protects each one of us from discouragement, feeling sad, being hurt by lies. We are to hold on to hope and knowing the knowledge that we are saved. God will always triumph. God's word is the sword of the Spirit. It does take practice to use the sword. It takes practice to gain understanding of the word. Our Father God helps us to understand and use the scripture when we study the scripture. It becomes part of our daily language. It becomes part of our knowledge. It becomes part of our emotions. And his word becomes alive in us. Jesus relied on God's word when he was combating the temptation of Satan in the wilderness. Right away, he knew the Old Testament verses that he needed to say to fight off evil. Paul encourages using the armor of God for spiritual strength. In verses 19 and 20, he writes, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." I find that amazing. "Whenever I open my mouth, I pray that words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." He could have asked for prayer just to be, Paul could have asked just to be released from jail. It's probably where most of us would have started. It's pretty brutal back then. I believe he was probably looking at the soldiers who were guarding him and not being very nice to him as he thought of the armor of God. Before he saw the soldiers, he saw the gifts from God. He asked for believers to pray for spiritual strength. Pray using all forms of prayer. My family and I sat down and we were pondering, what types of prayer? What's going on here? There's silent prayer. There's prayers speaking out. There's walking prayers. There's mowing the yard prayers. There's mulching prayers. There's kneeling prayers. Crying prayers. Praying consistently. Praying at home. Praying in the car. Praying at work. Get the idea? Praying is pretty important. Prepare yourself for praying all day long. Pray for yourself and pray for others. Tell others that you are praying for them. Ask others to pray for you. I have said this before. You'll probably hear it next Saturday. I had been praying over Marion about every other day I was going in to visit with her. And I had been asking her to remember to say thank you to everyone that came in the room, everyone that came to help her. I was reminding her to say thank you. And her last sentence to me was, "I want to say thank you." She prayed her way into those heavenly gates. Paul's prayer for each of us is to grow closer to God and to grow closer to others. When you pray for others and think positive thoughts for others, you are growing closer to God. In this world, there's a need for spiritual discipline because it is easy to get off that path. But we need to stay rooted in God's word. His word and his truths. I encourage you to take a look at yourself this week. Is your faith growing or not? I encourage you to be persistent in prayer this week. Hold on to your identity in Jesus Christ. Find joy in your identity in Jesus Christ. Embrace it and live in unity with others. I've asked Jeff to place a sunrise picture. It came from Becky and Justin. If we can get that up on the screen, please. Is that not beautiful? My first inclination, that was the sunset. My first thought when I thought of that was Marion. Marion is there. My second thought was all of you and how blessed I am to be serving as your pastor here at Wellspring Church. And I do keep you in my prayers. I pray according to where you sit in the pew, so I don't miss anyone as I pray. I just thought that we would finish this morning with that picture remaining up. And as thoughts come to your mind,